you're living life where your primary concern is other people judging you, are you truly living? This was an amazingly powerful question with this incredible entrepreneur, Mr. Amazing Dane here. I had him on the show. He is the co-creator of Access Consciousness. He's a best-selling author. He's the change-making speaker. He is the creator of the International Being You Day. And he's one of the most incredible people I have ever met in my entire life. I want you to listen up in the show. You are just going to be expanded so much as we talk about entrepreneurship, living the life that you truly, deeply, deeply, deeply want, and we talk about happiness. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hi, Animation Capel, Liz Benny here, and the incredible, amazing Dane here is
here.
And we've been having some fun with accents behind the scenes before we got going with the recording here. Dane, would you like to come on out here and say hello to everyone?
Hello, everyone. And I'm sorry about my accent. What are you going to do?
I love your accent. I've got the crazy accent, let's be honest.
No, see, I love yours too.
Are we going to start this off with a big love fest? Is that what's going to go on right now?
I certainly hope so. You know,
this is amazing.
There's not enough love in the world. You know,
let's bring some more. I love your shirt. It is very happy.
Thank you very much. And I am very happy to go with it. This is my happy face right here. This one right here. And I have a black background because, true story, I just moved my home studio, which used to be like right by my bed. Like I could practically fall out of bed into my chair, you know, where I do a lot of Zooms and podcasts and stuff. And I just moved it. And this is the first thing I have turned the camera on for. So I had to shut the black screen back there because it just was it. Yeah. So I don't think it
brings your shirt out more.
Well, there you go. What I mean is I have a black background because I wanted my shirt to show up and pop. That's what I meant. You know, when you get lemons, man, make lemonade.
This is true. Okay, so we're going to have a fun podcast today, everyone listening to this, because this guy is an absolute freaking rock star. He's been rocking it out with the likes of Gary Vee. He's written like 50,000 books, and he is an expert in a lot of the same things that I would say that I am pretty clued up in as well. But I'm super duper duper excited to ask you some curly questions, some raw, real, honest questions, Mr. Dane, and really help entrepreneurs listening to this right now be lit up in ways that they've never been lit up before. Are you game?
I am so game. I almost thought you said, are you gay for a moment? And I was like, you know, I am pretty darn happy. So let's do this thing.
Well, you said that nothing was off limits. I mean,
totally.
I mean, to each their own, and then we move on. It's totally fine. Okay.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I was super impressed with when I was doing some research about you prior to pressing record and coming on this incredible Zoom with you today was really understanding that you have suffered some incredible trauma in your life, yet you're rocking it out in ways in your life that some people who probably have experienced some trauma, like we've all experienced trauma in some way, shape or form. But I'm really wanting to kind of talk about your trauma and what that was like and why you chose this pathway for yourself, because you've done some amazing things.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, for me, it's like I had a lot of interesting, as you say, traumas growing up. And, you know, I experienced a lot of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. But even more than that, I think it was the invalidation of my being that I received from the people that I was around. And also, one thing I want to say about the idea of abuse and trauma is a lot of people don't realize that they have experienced that because they're like, well, I was never punched. I was never beaten. But it's like, yeah. And yet there's a form of PTSD that occurs from having your being invalidated continuously by somebody, making you doubt your own reality, that sort of thing. But so I grew up and I don't want to get into the whole shebang, but let's just say I experienced a lot of that. But I had never in my life given up hope until I got to 30 years old. I was a chiropractor starting my second chiropractic practice in Paradise, Santa Barbara, California. Mm-hmm. And it's like I started getting more and more depressed, and I'd been unhappy for the better part of 3 years. Mm-hmm. Here I was, I had this relationship everybody thought was perfect for me at the time, and they thought we were going to get married. And I had this practice, and from the outside, my life looked perfect, but I was dying inside. Yeah. And I'm a seeker like you. I'm a weirdo. I do all kinds of things, you know, and I'm like, and I've always been that way because I always knew there had to be something else possible. I knew there had to be something else because I looked at what was around me and I went, if this is it, why am I here? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I would go to these weekend workshops and get change for a few days. And then by the next week, it felt like the universe caved back in on my shoulders again. And it was after one of these workshops that I thought I found the answer to happiness. And I wasn't asking for much. I wanted to be happy, wanted to have more ease with money. And that was basically it. And that I couldn't even seem to achieve. And so I said, universe, look, you got 6 months. I am done. I am not going to live in suffering any longer. Either my life truly changes or I'm out of here. And I thought I was going to get to end my life. I literally planned a date to end my life. Well, I came across something called Access Consciousness by reading a tiny little classified ad in the paper. And I had a session of something called BARS. And I went into it depressed and suicidal. I came out of it an hour and 15 minutes later with a gratitude for being alive, a joy that I thought I had lost and would never have again, and a sense of peace and knowing that everything was okay. And I was like, wow, if it feels like this to be alive, I am in, sign me up, let's go. And of course, that's what I've been part of co-creating for the last 21 years. You know, we're in 176 countries around the world at this point, et cetera. You know, that I just say that because when I started, we were in two countries. And so the gift of seeing what this has added to people's lives has made my choice to stay alive, number one, worth it. But also having these tools, because Access has a lot of tools for when you're in the trenches of life and you need to change stuff. Mm-hmm. And that started literally transforming the way I was showing up in my world. And I started waking up happy. And that's pretty much the majority of my life at this point.
Oh my little old Lord, I am so freaking fired up, so excited to be having this conversation with you today, because I don't know about you, but there are a lot of very unhappy millionaires out there, unhappy business people out there. There are people, I was just doing a podcast interview yesterday, and the person that I was interviewing was the type of person, he was like, oh, you know what, there's no such thing as depression, just go for a run and like get out of it, like do da da da. And he actually then himself experienced this one day when he got up and he was like, you know what, like it would be really cool if I could just not be alive.
Yeah.
In that moment, he was like, oh, I've got some issues. Like I really and truly need to make sure that everything is fine right now. I need to go get help for this. And around that same period of time, he was talking about the fact that people just in his blog, entrepreneurs had quite literally just committed suicide, killed themselves, taken their own lives. And it was because their business had gone belly up. And it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation where, and I think I would love to have a conversation with you around identity and how we beat ourselves up because of, I guess, clutching and grasping at an identity that perhaps sometimes is not actually the right way for us to focus. What would you say about that?
Well, I would say if the identity requires that much effort to grasp and reach for, it's not truly us being us.
Yeah.
And the easiest and the most challenging thing in the world is for us to truly be us. But if you look at entrepreneurs, they are people who have said, I'm not going to be normal. You know, I'm not a sheep. I'm going to go out and I'm going to create something different. Mm-hmm. And those people, the people that are wired that way, many, 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 many of them are something I call horse people. Like there's horse people and cow people, or we could call them like horse people and sheep people, you know? And they're more like horse people. They want to run and jump and play and explore and see what else is possible. And they can't fit into the box that everybody else tries to fit into, like the normal colored sheep. They're more like neon sheep, you know? And so this comes with one of the things I've seen that they sort of go hand in hand is where the person who functions from this being different, a lot of times they're in a sense of judgment of themselves for not being able to fit in. And sometimes they do their business or try to create a lot of money or whatever it is as a way of trying to overcome that sense that there's some inherent wrongness with them. Mm-hmm. And so the difficulty starts with that very concept and construct. And a lot of us have had it from the time we were little kids. We just knew we were different. And in the world we're living in, different is wrong. Mm-hmm. Rather than the recognition that every great invention, every great change in the world has been created by somebody who is willing to be different. And so when we get our identity wrapped up in our business, when we get our identity wrapped up in an income and believe that that is us, we do this transference to that where, and we also do that because we couldn't imagine a scenario in which being okay with us. In other words, we would rather put it out there because that's something that I feel like I have control of outside of me. And if I make it about me, I will probably fail. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make this thing succeed, because if I put in enough energy and I make the right choices and I make enough effort and I judge myself enough, then things will work. And the problem is it never creates a sense of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why people wake up one day and go, why am I here again? But mm-hmm. to a certain extent, we're all sold the idea that if you do this plus this plus this, if you have the house, if you have the money, if you have the business, if you have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence, and you're going to be happy. But for entrepreneurs, that paradigm just never works, because they've got to have more. They've got to be more. That is a gift if you'll acknowledge it as the gift that it is. That is not a wrongness. And your difference is also a gift. And one of the things I like to say and give people as an awareness is, what if everything you thought was a wrongness of you is actually a strongness? You know, and we see the most successful business people tend to have characteristics of ADHD, OCD, autism. And from my point of view, the people that have that, like smatterings of it, are the X-Men. You know, they're the mutation of the species to a higher order of function.
Thank you for a couple of reasons. Number one, you spoke directly to my audience in the most incredible, amazing way. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, as a person who has known that I'm different my whole entire life, even down to my sexuality, like I'm in a same-sex relationship, and I actually don't like saying the word, you know, sexuality, because I'm just Liz who is married to Christy. That's how I like to say it. But when I have conversations with Mormon people, for example, and they go, wait, so you're not lesbian? I'm like, I'm Liz and I love Christy. And that's kind of it. That's my identity. I don't need a label for that. They're like, I need you to have a label. I'm like, hey, cool. You can label me if you want. But even from a sexuality standpoint, down to, you know, dyslexic, down to being a dreamer, down to being the person who was feeling dumb in the rooms, but actually being the most bright in the room, the one that could see things differently.
Oh, I'll shut up. Oh no, I just, that so dynamically is something that so many of these people, our people, whatever you want to call them, us mm-hmm. weirdos, by the way, the original meaning the of X-Men. Weird. Yeah. The X-Men. Exactly. So the original meaning of weird was of spirit, fate, or destiny. So when people say you're weird, the proper response is thank you very much. Yeah. You know, and they go, it wasn't a compliment. And I go, if you knew what it was, if you knew what it actually meant, it actually is. Thank you very much. But because of my ADHD, I'm going to say, my thought was just lost. Oh, here we go. Okay. So
I love that.
To my brain, there are at least 8,000 things that want to be said at all times. And I usually have to go with the bright, shiny one, you know? Uh-huh. So this idea, this awareness, the thing that you just said is so, so brilliant and necessary for us to get, is that the audience we're talking to have always had more awareness than even the teachers in a class. Now, they didn't necessarily know how to do math, but they could sense the energy to such a degree that they knew when bullshit was being spoken. Mm-hmm. They knew when something was off. And they had, and they tend to be really friggin' smart and think that they're stupid because their smart doesn't match a standardized test of this reality a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be the smartest one in the room, believing you're the dunce or the idiot in the room. And that's mm-hmm. why I started off with talking about the invalidation we do to our being. We have it invalidated by others because we don't fit in the box. And then mm-hmm. what we do is we then take it and assume that we must be wrong and carry that with us continuously based on a lie. And if there's mm-hmm. one thing that will stick us more than anything else, it's a lie. Because mm-hmm. what's true for us always makes us lighter. And we get lighter, we get more spacious, we get happier. We have a sense of like, yay, a lie for us always makes us heavier. Mm-hmm. But what we've been taught to do in the world we live in is take those things that are heavy and somehow fix them rather than acknowledging this is bullshit. That is why it stinks. That is why it is so heavy. I'm going to leave it here now for the trash man and not have to believe that it's our job to somehow take a pile of crap and turn it into a pile of roses. Not our job. We need to divest ourselves of the heavy stuff and the lies. Not in a mean way, even. This is the other part, is we don't do it in a mean way. We do it by an acknowledgement of us and what's true for us. And then the lies just start fading out of our lives along with the people that are trying to perpetrate them.
Yes, that. Oh my gosh. Ah. Okay. So as you were talking then, I was thinking that a lot of entrepreneurs are like, oh yes, I'm in this entrepreneurial community now. And I think sometimes we need to be mindful of the weight that you were talking about too, because sometimes you can find yourself in a community that is still perpetuating that lie.
Yes.
You're in a templated situation where everyone are being, you know, starting to become clones of themselves, which is still the ultimate denial of that which is right for you, which is your truth. So, my big thing is helping entrepreneurs find a community and be around people who, they're not like, hey, you know, just copy me. This is the way I did the webinar. Just do it the way that I did it. It's going to be, you know, it'll be great. You'll make $1 million this way. No. What is your truth? What is right for you? What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. That, exactly that. And if we would actively seek it, and then we have the chance to function from something where we are actually in integrity with us. And that is when, you know, they talk about the flow state or, you know, they have so many different ways of describing it, but that's actually that. And I call that being you. And in that space, what happens is because you are actually congruent energetically with you, it's like you're, this is not going to work well for the audio part of the podcast, but if you could imagine sort of like your hands are in front of you and you're, fingers are open. And what most people are doing is the fingers are covering the possibilities of receiving. But when you're actually congruent with you, the spaces line up. What it does, it opens up and actually creates space. And we actually navigate the world energetically. We're energetic beings first and foremost. Energy is our first language. The reason Apple can be translated into every language is because of the energy of Apple that is translated. Mm-hmm. And so we actually, when we're congruent with us, that's the time when we're open to the subtleties of things that present themselves about how we could do things differently, how we could be different, how we can change the things we want to change. And then the next element that also goes into this is to ask open-ended questions and stop looking for answers. Stop coming to conclusion, because for every conclusion, every decision, every judgment you make, nothing that doesn't match that decision, judgment, or conclusion can come into your awareness because we're that powerful. If we go, wow, money is hard, business is hard. Guess what? Money's now hard and business is hard because of our point of view. Usually our point of view is something we bought from somebody else, especially the limited ones. And so then we have that point of view. Your point of view creates your reality. So then we have that experience. And then we look back on it and say, see, I knew I was right that it was difficult. Your point of view created that. The way of changing that is actually to ask open-ended questions, which is, what else is possible here I've never considered? How does it get any better than this when something good or bad happens? What's right about me I'm not getting? What's right about the situation I'm not getting? and so many others.
So just before I jumped on this podcast, around about half an hour before, I asked myself the question, how do I want to feel? And then it was open. I was like, you know what? I want to feel. And it was amazing. Now, I'm not saying that I was like feeling down. I was in I was actually doing a task that I don't love doing, like around an hour ago. And I was like, you know what? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be on here. So how do I want to feel? How do I want to show up? So I think the power of opening and asking bigger questions, like what would be possible if I got out of my own way?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, when you were talking about talking to Mormons, mm-hmm. Here's maybe what you could say is, I'm Liz being, you know, like being Liz, but the other way around, I'm Liz being.
It is. Okay. So that is so funny. Gosh, I love you. I knew we were going to get on. This is amazing. Because every single time I say my name and it's translated by AI, it literally comes up with lesbian. I'm like, that is the funniest thing in the world.
Defining a new standard of possibility.
Oh my little Lord. So it's really funny because Christy, my wife, says that she is lesbian, and which is funny. I find it funny because I'm Liz Benny, which is very funny. And then I say that I am Christian because her name is Christian, you know, Christy. So anyway, just a little bit of fun there. Okay. So I want to have a conversation with you around values, around for entrepreneurs that are doing it hard, doing it the wrong way. And wrong, we both know is a judgment. So I'm just saying doing it hard. Yeah, suffering.
But how are they going to know they have value if they don't suffer to create it? How are they going to overcome, you know, climb to the top of the mountain, find the Buddha, get the knowledge? How are you going to do that without struggle? I'm kidding, by the way, but just saying that tends to be a rather predominant point of view in a lot of people's worlds.
Mm. I love this. So for the person who is struggling, for the person who is just, let's paint a picture. On the one side, we've got the person who is in alignment with themselves, who is being themselves, who is Liz being, who is not their version of that, because not everyone needs to be Liz being. I'm Liz and I'm Liz being. And finding that things are just coming to them. It's like, oh, there is ease here. This is amazing. So they have a certain set of values that they're showing up in the world with in some way, shape or form, be it self-love, be it alignment, be it peace, be it, you know, flow, be it wealth, whatever those are. On the flip side, there will be people who are doing it harder, who are, I guess, choosing the struggle bus, who are experiencing or potentially not over all of their trauma. What values do you feel like they're showing up in the world with?
Well, let's look from this perspective. The primary value, in other words, in essence, oftentimes the primary value in someone's life who has experienced trauma is to maintain and perpetrate the suffering. And the other thing that a lot of people that are still suffering have is a remembrance and a reliance on their story of struggle, as though if they can maintain their connection to the struggle or the trauma that they experienced, the abuse they experienced, whatever it was, then they'll know when it's around the corner so they can avoid it. But here's the weird part. Here we are, we're energetic beings. So because they have that connection to it and will not let it go, it becomes one of the primary defining characteristics of their lives and defining moments of their lives oftentimes. And because of that, and because they're using it so highly to define themselves and say, this is me, what happens is it's so close to them and with them that they are the ones that continually experience the trauma, continuously experience the hard road. And now, please make no mistake about it. I'm not saying they're wrong. I used to do it too, and I get it. All I'm saying is, who would you be And what could you be if you let the trauma go, if you let the significance of it go, if you let the necessity of holding on to it go? This thing called bars that I had, Access Consciousness bars, we found that in one session, and it's a lie down session, somebody puts their hands on your head really lightly. In one session, it diminishes stress, anxiety, and depression an average of 87% in about an hour and 15 minutes. And had I not had that, I don't think I'd be sitting here in front of you right now. But because I have had that, and because I've worked with hundreds of thousands of people around the world and seen change after change after change after change, I know this is possible. And I'm not saying, and I really truly don't care if anybody does Access Consciousness, but I am trying to be a light at the end of perhaps a very dark tunnel for people that they've traversed for a long, long time, saying the change you desire truly exists. And it exists now in the world more than ever. And there are beautiful people like Liz Behan presenting this, you know, and it is possible to transform your reality, to transform your day-to-day living, breathing perspective. Part of what it requires, though, is the courage and the vulnerability to make a leap into experiencing your reality differently. Because we have the reference points for how it is when we're so stressed, we're stressed about money, we're stressed about this, oh man, things were going well and now they're falling apart again, you know, and when I get my business going, my relationship falls apart, you know, blah, blah, blah. We all have seen this with people, if not been those people. And so that creates a dynamic set of reference points for who you are and what your reality is. And in order to truly change it, we need to get to a space of being willing to go, okay, I'm willing to actually have something different, even if I have no clue who I am for a while, knowing that that will allow me to get to a place that I actually like me and I like my life. And I don't, and the other thing is we need to realize one of the things that can be very helpful is looking at who am I being when I choose this? And if I were truly being me, what would I choose? Because so many of the elements of what limit us fundamentally are things we bought from other people, primarily our parents, before we could even talk. One of the processes I run, we have this thing called a clearing statement in Access that for me, I consider it the biggest upgrade in personal development since we've had personal development. I won't go into that right now, but it allows you to do something like ask somebody, and I ask people this a lot in my classes, what percentage of who, what, where, when, why, and how you are did you buy from your mother before the age of two? And people go, you know, and then I ask about the father and they go, even more. And then, you know, I run them through a process of clearing it, which just takes a few minutes of, yeah, a few seconds actually, and ask them to keep doing that. And the people that do that start to recognize, wow, this whole, and I refer again to us being energetic beings. And what they realize is this whole sort of like energetic way I've been functioning as it relates to this, like the energetic matrix of my reality was something that I learned from these people that I loved and were supposed to love me. And this is primarily, I'm actually being more them than me at this point.
Yeah.
And that's what we see with the people that are struggling a lot. And I say again, it doesn't have to be that way.
Oh my gosh. Look, I love this because I think that you and I have been around in the business world for long enough to know that financial results, you know, people talk about financial freedom and they're like, oh, you know, when, but you know, we do live in a world where money is in some way, shape or form significant to help us eat and to help us have a roof over our head, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that a lot of us, you know, there has been this phrase of your money can't outgrow who you are. And a lot of the time, the work that we have to do is actually get rid of the parts of us that just aren't actually us, but we've been lumping them around. And so I've done my dad work. I've done my mom work and, you know, releasing myself from the shackles of needing to please my parents. And the release of that is just, I don't freaking care. I just want to be me. I want to show up in the world and be free to be me and the highest version of me, and boom it out into the world. And whoever needs this light to light, you know, to help illuminate their pathway, cool. I was actually singing the song this morning, This Little Light of Mine. And it's a song that I listened to when I was in church as a kid. And I'm not Christian now, but I was raised Christian. And this was like an unchristian version of it. Not that that matters, but it was just one that it just came through Spotify. I'm like, oh, and I was just singing it, This Little Light of Mine. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was actually imagining, because you and I both know that the heart chakra, like when you can boom from your heart, like it's an incredible center for us to radiate from. Do you want to talk to that for a second?
Well, that, you know, when you're truly being you, and you know, there are things out there, as we both know, like heart math and different things that scientifically prove yes. that, and there's so many other scientific, like from scientific perspective, not a spiritual perspective doing science, that talk about how dynamically the heart affects the electrical conductance of every cell in the body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea that the heart is also in concert with the heartbeat of the earth. And mm-hmm. here's the thing about the earth is, no matter what we do on its surface, it's like, okay, I wish you guys would be kinder to each other and more aware, but okay. You know, it's like the earth has total allowance. Mm-hmm. And so when we are beaming from, you know, from my perspective, that's us being, you know, and,
yes.
And we, here's the interesting part is if you study quantum physics a little bit, don't consider me well-educated, but if you study it just a little bit, you start to realize the idea, even Einstein, but given that, you know, he lived a long time ago, he said that all molecules are interconnected, that they all have consciousness. And then they did the, maybe I shouldn't go into that, but let me explain this one little part, because a photon can either function as a wave or a particle. And so they did this thing they called the double slit experiment, where they went to shoot it into, you know, it would go through one slit and they could find it on the sensor. If they would shoot it through two slits, it had a probability between whether it went through one sensor or another. Or actually, it was a probability. And then what they found, sorry, I'm totally butchering this because there's another part of this I want to get to. But basically, they found that photons could either be a particulate or a wave, right? Mm-hmm. But they can't explain it, because when they go to measure it, it changes based on your consciousness interacting with its consciousness.
Yes.
Now, this was interesting, because one of the things that Einstein hypothesized that they eventually proved is that if you had two particles that were connected and you studied them on other sides of the planet, let's say at the same time, when one would do this, the other one would do this instantaneously faster than the speed of light, which is faster than the speed of the universe. Faster than the speed limit, supposedly, of the universe. Well, I was having a conversation with a physicist the other night, literally, which is a very strange sentence to say to people. And he loves it. He's been to access classes and we were having these great conversations. And one of the things he said, he's like, one guy proposed that the possibility is that, like, if you had never seen a fish before and you see a fish in a tank and you're looking at this side of the tank and you see the fish, you know, turn, blow bubbles and whatever, and you're looking at another side of the tank, you'll see the exact same thing at the exact same time because it's the same friggin' fish. And I went, oh, mm-hmm. It's not necessarily just that the particles are connected by, you know, quantum entanglements, they call it. But what if every particle sees itself? What if we could begin to see ourselves not just as drops in the ocean, but simultaneously as the drop and the ocean? That's us.
I adore this. I love that you went to quantum physics. I was like, ooh, let's go there. This is going to be fun. So for the people that are kind of virginous from a quantum physics standpoint, they're like, whoa, this just got weird. Woo. We can then say thank you, because they just, you know, whatever. Because weird is a compliment. But to the person that's sitting here right now going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But what does this mean for me? I just want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. I want to make money. I want to be able to experience the world. I want to travel. I want to be me. What does what you just said mean for them being able to be the fullest, the highest, the most fulfilled version of themselves?
I love that question. Well, let's start with this. Fundamentally, at our very core, if you will, our fundamental nature is that of connection with all things. To any extent you are trying to avoid something, you are going against that fundamental nature.
Yes.
What do we avoid the most? Most people. Judgment. People try to craft their lives around not being judged. One of the things we found when we were looking at this, when I first came to Access, I started working with the founder of Access, and it was so cool. And we still work together. We're best friends to this day and have worked together for over 2 decades. But one of the things that we found, we were actually doing a money class because we do classes on all kinds of subjects. We get information from the people about what limits them, and then we can help them get unlimited, and then we can help other people get unlimited. And one of the things that we found was that for every judgment you are willing to receive, you're like, what? Receive judgment? What? For every judgment you're willing to receive, you make $5,000 more that year. Ooh. For every judgment you refuse and try to reject, you lose $10,000.
That.
And so go ahead. If you want to go, or then I go, you go. And I'll go.
Well, I just want to quickly say two quick things here, because I always knew when I was young that I was programmed differently. You know, from a sexuality standpoint, I actually probably see myself as more bisexual than anything. Like, I'm just, well, that one, I just am. I knew that my pathway, or at least I felt my pathway, was I eventually was going to end up with a woman. Like, that's just what I saw, and what was, it's just how I felt that things were going to pan out. And I tried the boyfriend, the white picket fence, the whole, all of that sort of stuff. And it just like, I believe you me, I tried, like, and then it just was so not for me. And it actually got dangerous psychologically, physically, emotionally. It was just not a good place for me to be. Now, it's interesting that when I was trying to convince myself, no, it'll be fine. And I vividly remember walking down the street in Sydney, in the gay district there. And I remember walking down there genuinely like hating on everyone that seemed to be so happy in same-sex relationships. I was like, I was throwing out as much, and I was like, dirty, disgusting, wrong. And it was really interesting how I was flinging it out. But basically I was just judging myself at the same time, because I knew that was my pathway. And it was an act of self-hatred to judge them so cruelly, because it was, and through my business, when I was first quote unquote coming up in the world, and, you know, I hadn't really made it online. I hadn't really done anything of any significance. I remember when I was going out into the world and I started my webinars and I was selling this online program. And I remember the very first 6 months, there was no way I was going to say the words "my wife." I was like, oh, no. I'm selling to an American market. And I know that, you know, typically speaking, around half these people are going to want to kill me because politically speaking, I'm a bad person, you know, and this is the idea that was constructed in my mind. And it was really funny that as I started to say "my wife," like, more customers started to come in, because they saw me being full and complete and loving myself enough and confident enough. Now, it might have cost me a couple of customers, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, what it earned me out the other side was incredible. And then I took this lesson, and it wasn't fully in me at that point in time, but I remember my very first speaking on stage scenario. Again, that whole fear came up. I was like, okay, go. I'm speaking to an American market. Someone's going to kill me. Someone's going to want to kill me. And I was convinced that, not convinced, I had a fear that when I stood up on stage, someone was going to shoot me. And this is a couple of years ago. And I remember being like, you know what, at the end of the day, it doesn't freaking matter. Like, whoop-de-doo, like, I'm being me. I'm going to get up on stage. I'm going to inspire the ever-living crap out of these people. I'm going to be vulnerable AF. And I'm going to tell the truth. And at that particular event, it was the first time anyone had ever received a standing ovation. And at the end, like, the entire audience was like, and they were sobbing because I was raw, real, and honest. And it's interesting that I got past the point of fear of judgment around that. And that point has served me so much. Like, as long as you can step out of it, like the more you judge yourself, I think we are the harshest critics of ourselves. What say you about that?
Oh, absolutely. And these horse people I'm talking about judge themselves and think they're judgmental, when in actuality, the only person they ever judge is them. Mm. And I just want to say, I'm so grateful for your vulnerability then and now, because people are looking for people who are authentic, who are truly being them, no bullshit. You know, it's like, hi, here I am, warts and all. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I don't try to be. I don't need to be. Mm-hmm. And that is such a gift of an invitation. And it's an inspiration to other people to know it's actually possible. Mm. And that's why, you know, when the possibility of being interviewed by you came through, I'm like, yes, you know, let's do it. I want to do it. And come on. She looks awesome and fun, you know? And it was just an instant yes. And so this thing, so let's talk about this for a moment, because people think judgment is going to kill them, you know, and if you, well, I have so many things to say on this subject. Let's look at it this way. If you're living a life where your primary concern is other people's judgments, are you truly living? And we're not. We're cutting off our joy. We're cutting off our happiness. We're also very OCD, continuously looking for how we're going to be judged when we place that much significance on judgment. And what happens is then we get judged more than other people because we expect to be judged, and you get what you expect. You get what your point of view dictates that you should get. And one of the things I'm grateful for about access is the ability to change your point of view. When you realize it's a limited point of view, you have the ability to change that point of view, so it no longer haunts you that way, because it shouldn't. And so let's look at this also for a moment. If we could, well, I love when you said me doing that gave me that fuel for every future time. Because here's the thing, if you go through it once and you survive, it's like you realize this thing is a paper tiger. I may have thought it was real. Everybody else thinks it's really real and very significant, but I know I'm strong enough to do this. And this is where we start to get in touch with our own strength, our own power, if you want to call it that. I like to call it potency, because that's the capacity to stand strong and create change in your life and in the world. And so what this allows us is if we could recognize, so one of the, golly, the ADHD is going big time right now. I apologize. I'll try to actually keep a sentence going. What happens is if we can recognize that if somebody says, you're a jerk, well, we've got a few choices. We can get up all in their face and go, I'm not a jerk, you're a jerk, which is resistance and reaction. But in order to have even gone there, resistance and reaction is the negative polarity. But in order to go there, we had to have first had the positive polarity where we aligned and agreed that that must be true somehow. And this is where we stick ourselves, is alignment and agreement that it must be true, and then resistance and reaction to try to prove that what we just aligned and agreed with as true is not true, which is where we stick us. So we have a third choice, and this is where the freedom is. And it involves a famous Russian, Justin Ipov, okay, where you allow it to be just an interesting point of view. So somebody says, you're a jerk. What you do is literally in your head, push down your walls and barriers that make you want to fight and that make you want to go in or cave in, because people do one or the other when they're functioning from this. Push down the walls and barriers. And hey, even if you die, you know what? It's been a great life so far. And I'm going to tell you, it's like really a high chance that you're going to stay alive in the face of judgment. I'm just saying, okay, having experienced a lot of it myself, I know how this goes. So if you lower the walls and barriers and somebody goes, you're a jerk, you just look at them and go, oh, thank you. Or what makes you say that? I prefer thank you. That way you don't need to open the door to another conversation. But what we don't realize is, it's oftentimes our projection and expectation that we're going to be judged that people pick up on energetically. Once again, we're energetic beings. People pick up on that. Yeah. And then they deliver it at us. But then ours, it's like if we would lower the walls and barriers and in our head go, interesting point of view, you have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And interesting, I have this point of view about you having this point of view. And say it until you just go, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And let's do it. Okay, can we do it with people around the people listening? Okay, so everybody listening, I apologize it's taken me this long to get here. My brain is seriously going on rants right now. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is get the sense, the energy that comes up with some upset you've had in the last, I don't know, week or so that is still there somehow, or something you thought you handled, but when I say it, it comes and rears its ugly head. And what I'd like you to do is get the energy of that and lower the walls and barriers and all the points of view you've had to the best of your ability and just get that energy and go, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. Okay. I'm saying point of view, by the way. Okay. Okay. Now, usually it shifts even a little bit. And so now to whatever energy's there still, has it shifted? Just go, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. Cool. Usually shifts again. And now again to whatever's there, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. And again, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. Interesting point of view. I have this point of view. Okay. So did you do it, Lesbian?
Yeah, 100%. The massive sensory deprivation. Like it's like, it's that beautiful feeling of nothingness at the end. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. And then you're free. And that's,
you know what? I love the fact, like, you didn't call me Liz. Like it, 100. This is so beautiful. Because if you had have said that to me 20 years ago when I hated myself, I would have been like, I just don't even know how to handle that. Like, hey, let's just keep it at Liz.
Yeah.
And my thing is like, yeah, let's go. Because I honestly feel like entrepreneurs are swinging on the pendulum of the highs and the lows. And it's now we're going to have good days and we're going to have like not so good days. But I think what you just did there is created a normalizing or a not a numbing ritual, because I think being numb is actually negative, to be honest with you, because you've got to have some charge to move forward. I think when people misconstrue, you know, oh, look, I've just got to be neutral all the time. Neutral doesn't mean numb. Neutral means being able to look at something and go, I choose this. And I'm not reacting to that. It was interesting this morning. I had two Voxer messages come through. And it was really interesting because, here we go. It was really interesting because the first one was like, oh my gosh, Liz, I just saw your new thing that you're doing. I honestly just feel like I just witnessed you becoming you. And I was like, wow. That's cool. And that was a cool thing to hear. And he goes, but I don't think you needed me to say that. I was like, that was kind of funky cool. And then on the other side was this person who was like, oh my gosh, like desperation, like, and I was like, wow, like here is some balance right here. And I think being able to, as entrepreneurs, being able to step back from things and actually look and go, what's going on? Like awareness is awareness of how we feel, awareness of how we're processing stuff, awareness of what we want to feel, and awareness of who we are choosing to be. What say you about that?
Well, that, you know, the what I would say is with what we just ran through, you get a sense of space.
Yeah.
And where, and it's also, I guess I would also call it poise, you know, like people, as you were saying, people say neutral or numb or whatever, but it's like where you can act any way in any moment, you know, you can go over here, you can be really slow, you can be really present, just chill out, whatever, where we have that, where what it does, it truly gives us choice. If we're resisting and reacting to the world around us, then we're always in a state of trying to fight against the world to get things done, get things created. If we're aligning and agreeing all the time, everybody else's point of view becomes more valuable to us than ours. Mm. And the only true place of freedom is when we're willing to have things be an interesting point of view. You know, so you got those two totally differing things. And, you know, you for the first one, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Thank you. You know, I'm very grateful. And you are correct. I did not need you to say that. I'm grateful that you reached out to. What a kindness on your part. And that enriches my world. Thank you. And to the other one, wow, interesting point of view that you're in such turmoil right now. If there's anything I can contribute, I will. If I can't, then I'm grateful that you reached out because you see me as a source. And that's really wonderful. And if I can't, maybe I can give you some resources. And so you don't get swayed in the ways that most people are. And you also then start to prioritize those things that you stop getting run by the small stuff. And you start to be able to perceive much easier the big stuff and the stuff that will actually move the needle in a way, in one way or another.
That I think, let's have a conversation around boundaries, because this is actually boundaries of where you're allowing your attention to go, right? And because you can sweat the small stuff, or you can choose to act in the ways that are going to get more of what you want out of life. I think you must have become an expert boundary creator in your life to have all the beautiful, weird, freaky, genius stuff that you have going on with your being, with who you are as a human being in this world, as an energy being in this world. Let's have a conversation around where, because I've had this conversation with myself, with my wife, with kids, and with clients, like learning to know where I end. Even though we're all connected, but where my responsibility of ends and when other people's responsibility, like the is this making any sense, by the way? Boundaries of self is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, what I found is I've got a different perspective, and we could call it semantics or whatever we want to call it. So I just want to say that up front, because what I found was I used to try to set boundaries and have boundaries, and it never worked. And so I looked and I went, okay, so what actually would work? And what I started looking at was with each interaction with each person, with each work, that easy for me to say, with each request for something, an energy, money, time, a creation, I started asking what will create the most. And so the idea was, I also started asking, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? And if I don't choose this, what will my life be like? And what I was looking for was, does my life go like this, or does it go like this, or does it just basically stay the same? And so what I started doing was navigating from the place of asking a question every time something would come up, even for something really small, as a way of getting myself in practice. I would ask, what will my life be like in 5 years? Not even look like. In other words, that's tapping into my awareness and my knowing that only I have. I'm willing, I'm grateful for input from anybody else, but I'm also willing to have a sense of, and I go back to this thing of what's true for you makes you lighter. A lie makes you heavier. And so what happens is if somebody tells me something and it feels contracted, feels heavy, I'll either recognize, okay, that's not for me, or I'll ask them a question. What did you mean by that? Like, what are you looking at that I'm not seeing? Because I may have misinterpreted, or they may be miscommunicating, or both. And so using that light and heavy tool as a guide, what I've learned to do, and then that question, what will my life be like in 5 years, more or less? And also, what will the business be like in 5 years if it's specifically business related? More or less, like lighter or heavier, more spacious, more abundant, or contracted and more judgment and more solidity. And in doing that, what I started recognizing was it became less about it. It created the effect that I was trying to create with boundaries before, but a boundary is like putting up a wall that now you're functioning according to rules of who's violating my boundaries, and am I allowing my boundaries to be violated? And now you're in a constant state of judgment to see if somebody's walking over the wall, or if you went over to the other side of the wall, or what's going on there. And that never worked for me, is that constant state of judgment, I was already doing enough of that. And people say, you need to set boundaries. I'm like, yeah, but I really like people and I really like to contribute to them. And I realized that there would be times where I really like people, I really like to contribute to them, and it changed their whole world. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I realized if I would add in this element of question and start to develop my energetic awareness, I could navigate everything that way. And that's what I started to do. I started asking, what will my life be like in 5 years? And what will the business be like in 5 years if I choose this? And if I don't? And then what it's gotten to at this point is somebody will ask something, I'll go yes or no, yes. Like when this chance to talk to you came up, yes. And it was just like, yes, absolutely. And I do realize that that can sound, I don't mean to be flippant in any way. What I would try to invite people to is a less rigid perspective, a less rigid sense of now I'm going to set boundaries. So now I've got a new set of rules that I'm probably going to screw up too, because I screw up everything that has rules. Sorry, not my thing, really. You know, not really good at that. But I'm really good at knowing when something makes me heavy. I'm really good at knowing when something makes me light. In other words, I'm really good at knowing that person just did this and it's crunchy in my world. Okay, what do I need to address here to change this? And so rather than walls, it becomes a far more sort of flowing, being present with what is. But that's also where I've seen the miracles get created, both in business and in personal and with everybody.
Oh my gosh, I love this conversation. Thank you. We're coming up, like I know that, oh my gosh, I feel like we could talk for hours and hours and hours, but we are coming up to the end here. And I've got some spitfire questions that I want to ask you here in a second. Before that though, I want to hear from you about a turnaround story. Something where somebody has come into your world, or you've become aware of the story where somebody has been at the depths of despair. Somebody has just, business is not going well. Home life is not going well. Health is not going well. And then what key decisions or key actions or key things that they did in order to get on the other side? And what did it look like on the other side for them? What's a key story that comes to mind for you?
How long do you have? I feel so blessed, as I know you do also, getting to do this. And
yeah.
And it's exactly for that. It's for that transformation. And also you believe in somebody a lot of times when nobody else has, because you can see it in them. It's just like, I get it, you don't, but man, I got your back. Let's do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Let me ponder that for a moment. Oh, okay. So there was one lady who was a businesswoman. She actually wasn't a businesswoman before. She was a mom of two kids. She ended up getting divorced from her husband because he was actually abusive. And she was in the place of, when I first met her, she was married and she was he was more gaslighting than physically abusive. Okay. Mm. Which is even more insidious a lot of times.
Oh yeah. Psychological abuses.
Yeah. And he was, and she had two kids, loves them very much. And she was like, she talked to me at one point. She's like, I'm thinking of leaving him and I'm really scared because I don't know if I can do this. Mm. And so what I did is I started getting her every day to use some questions, but also to get the sense of the way it would be to have ease and peace with the situation. And not even visualize was too structured for the way she functions because she was sort of highly autistic. And so what I did is I said, get the sense energetically of the way it would be to have ease and peace with this and to have ease and peace with your husband and ex as this goes along and ease and peace with your kids. And now the other thing is we need to start working on your points of view about money. And what we started doing in exploring it, what we found was the points of view that she had about money and the relationship she was in was exactly like the relationship her mom had with her dad. And here we go, right? And, you know, we know this occurs dynamically. And so what we did is we started picking that apart. And what was interesting was she's like, okay. And I said, so how is this? I talked to her, I don't know, 3 weeks after she started this. And I said, how is it? And she's like, okay. So about a week after we started, I got this hit. And what I did was I started watching all of your YouTube videos. I started listening to all the classes. And then I started writing down everything I desired as my life. And I looked at it. I went, if he wasn't in it, if nobody else was in my life, what would I choose? And I was like, okay, cool. So she writes this down. And she started transforming because it was the first time in her life she ever looked at anything for her. She was, you know, her parents' kid. Then she was this guy's girlfriend. And then she was his wife. And then she was the mom. And then, you know, and so on and so on and so on. And what she ended up doing was she ended up getting a divorce 6 months later. And the husband was like, I'm not going to pay you anything. I'm not going to do anything like that. And she managed to change it. So he gave her half and told her how grateful he was for her. Mm. And what she did is she actually used that to start a consulting business where she started doing things for women that were like what she needed that was not there for her at the time. And it was like, I mean, it just, how beautiful, you know, this is the world. This is what I'd like to create in the world.
Firstly, I want to say thank you for seeing her, because I know that by you seeing her and being there for her, first we must see and then be there for these people and help them through their transition. Without you, like, my gosh, like the drop in the bucket, the ripple effect of your work is just amazing. So thank you. I just want to say thank you for her and for all the incredible people's lives that have been changed as a result of that. Because I know that, you know, you made a decision to step into yourself, to be yourself and to be the light worker and be the change agent in the world. And without you, a lot of people's lives would be a lot darker. So I just wanted to say thank you to you. So we're going to have some fun now and we're going to move into, like, not that that wasn't fun. It was deep and it was fun at times. And then it was deep and it was raw, real and honest. And that's the only way that I ever want to do it. So I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to pick some of these questions here. And the idea is to just go bam, straight back with an answer. And we'll do it super quickly. You good for that?
Okay. I'm so good. Let's do it.
Nice. Cool. So what is your secret indulgence?
My secret indulgence.
And why?
I don't think it's a secret. I have so many. One, riding my horse, driving my car really, 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 really fast on the Italian Autostrada. Let's see, ice cream. Oh, I love ice cream, especially Häagen-Dazs dulce de leche ice cream. Chocolate. I like peanut M&Ms, which is really strange because they suck. And that's just a short list.
By the way, why do you keep eating them? I keep eating them too. I'm like, I don't like these.
I know, exactly. Except I actually like them. I know they're like cheap and whatever, and I eat them and I'm like, sometimes they just hit the spot.
I like the original. I like just the chocolate ones.
Oh, I got you. I have to say they taste a little different in Down Under than they do in the United States.
They really do. They really do. The first time I went and lived in America, I tasted Cadbury chocolate in America. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah,
we're coming up to the end here. I can see that you'll be like,
No, hold on one sec. No, I just have guys here going to do my new desk thing. They're awesome, but they are here and they were talking. I'm like, I just didn't want it to bleed through. So
it's all good. It's all good. This is amazing. Okay. So next question is, if you have $1 million to give away, like it's just here, it's in your hands right now. You have to give it away to someone.
Yeah.
Who do you give it away to and why?
I have to give it away to someone. Oh, I love this idea. There are about six people here in Houston that that at Christmases lately, because of divorces, because of one father dying, that we have been contributing to, and it would be so cool to split it between them. And I think that'd be awesome. So yes, let's have that.
I love that. Okay, so your favorite concert that you have ever attended?
Hugh Jackman. Ooh. And I'm not just saying that because you're from down under and all, but I got to say it was awesome.
Well, so he's hot too, in my mind. Like he's gorgeous.
Hello. Yeah. I think he's hot too.
But you're hot too.
I know, right?
Okay. Let's just pretend for a very quick second that you are aware that you're going to be on your deathbed sometime in the very near future. No, not very near future. In the future. Definitely not in the very near future. So on your deathbed, you get your last meal request. What is your last meal request?
Oh my goodness. So many wonderful things. Really good caviar.
Mm.
A ribeye steak. My Parmesan artichoke dip.
Ooh.
And what else? Oh, and some really good Thai food.
Oh, yum. Mm. I want to be there. That sounds like fun.
Come. Hey, you know, and if I die soon, I'm going to let everybody that I work with know that it's your fault.
No, I did not put that down there. I'm taking it back. Okay, so mine, just for the record, is basil pesto pasta. I love basil pesto pasta. Mm-hmm. I think I'm secretly Italian because I talk with my hands.
Me too.
Yeah, it's right. Hard. Someone told me one time to talk, sit on my hands and then talk. I'm like, what is this stupidness that we're talking about right now? No, I can't talk. Okay, so quick couple of other ones here. What was your favorite toy as a child and why?
My favorite toy was a stuffed animal that I called Purple Pal. And it was a purple, apparently, I think a monkey at some point. And I carried that thing everywhere. And my mom and I moved house to house to house at one point. And I had that thing with me all the time. And I would sleep with him. And Purple Pal, definitely.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Okay. And the final question for today is, what was the last thing you bought and why?
You picked a good day because Amazon and the camera stores, let's put it this way. I bought 3 DSLRs. I bought a screen. Oh, and probably the coolest looking one is this 49-inch curved screen that I literally just bought yesterday because, you know, I'm redoing my office. Uh-huh. So it's this gaming monitor, even though I don't do gaming. And basically I bought an entire setup, all the tech for my office. So
oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. So raw, real, and honest with you. Thank you so much for rocking it out and having a ton of fun, being so open to answer some curly questions and just to help the audience step into their lives in a better way. If it weren't for you, like there would be, as I said before, the world would be less dim. So thank you so much for saying yes. Thank you for looking at my website and go, yes, I want to rock it out and have a ton of fun with that lesbian lady. It's going to be fun. Any final words that you would want to say to anyone here?
Well, first, I just really want to say thank you. And you're just friggin' awesome. And I would love to talk to you anytime. And second, I would just like everybody to know now more than ever, you have more chance now to change with ease than has ever occurred before. Do not let the world get you down. Do not let the insanity in the world get you down, because the insane, crazy crap rears its ugly head right before it dies and goes away. Mm-hmm. Take 2 more steps, no matter where you are, and recognize that what if you truly being you, with a sense of possibilities, a sense of joy, and a knowing that things can change, and an awareness of you being a contribution, are the gift, the change, and the possibility this world requires.
Mic drop moment. That was absolutely beautiful. And where can anyone find out about you and what you do?
You can go to drdainheer.com. It's drdainheer.com. On Instagram, it's Dane Here. Facebook, Dr. Dane here, and on YouTube, I looked yesterday and there were 992 videos that I have on YouTube that are free tools. Oh, and beingyouday.com. We didn't talk about it, but I'm telling you, first inaugural one was on May 22nd, and it's been recorded. And if you need some inspiration and just some really feel good mojo, go to beingyouday.com and check it out, because it was so cool.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other Fs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.